Welcome, everyone, to a special mini-episode of Steeping Together, where we explore a specific topic within the vast world of tea with a tea enthusiast. I'm your tea-obsessed host, Marika, and as usual, cannot wait to dive right into today's topic. I do not have a sweet tooth at all. It is for this reason I almost never sweeten my tea. I almost never sweeten anything. Save for the rare occasion when I'm feeling sick, the thought of adding sugar, honey, agave, or even maple syrup almost never comes up. But I do know that I am in the minority. Most certainly in North America, many people habitually add sweeteners to their teas or actively seek out teas that contain sweet ingredients, which from my perspective seems alien and odd. But no leaf in the tea world should be left unturned. This is why I have enlisted Celia ACA and Kelly Miller to help me understand why sweeteners are sweet. Either as an added ingredient to your already steeped up cup or as an ingredient incorporated into a blended tea, these tea adventurers are here to enlighten me and help me discover the wonderful world of sweeteners. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Such a delight. You've been here before. We can't deny or hide this, but would you care to just briefly introduce yourselves for any listeners who would have missed your previous appearances on the podcast?
Yeah, for sure. My name is Kelly. I'm the research and development lead here at David's Tea for tea and product, and I'm also probably our office sweet tooth.
I'm Celia ACA. I am the tea, herb, and sustainability specialist. Which basically just means that I'm a plant person. I just love plants, think about plants all day. And generally, I'm thinking about plants that have functions, but contrary to popular belief, I do still add some sweetness to some of my teas, depending on how I'm steeping.
Excellent. That's exactly why I've asked both of you to be here, because sweetness in tea, when we say tea in this sense, I'm really just talking about Camellia sinensis, right? And habitually with like traditional teas, the response to adding any kind of sweetener to that tea is not always great, right? We want to try and taste the tea as it was intended. Don't alter it. You know, it's perfect as is. And when it comes to teas that are blended or herbal teas, we try to, at least at David's Tea, we try to create a tea where you wouldn't necessarily have to add anything to it. It's already got a very complete flavor profile. But there are millions of people adding sweeteners to teas, and we have lots of blends that have sweet ingredients in them. So I just want to understand why. Not do you like it, do you not like it? You know, that's a personal taste thing. And we're not here to tell people how they should take their tea. Hey, you like putting 3 spoonfuls of white sugar into your black tea? Have at it. Go for it. But just from a flavor perspective, like, why would you add sweetness to a tea?
I mean, the most obvious one is truly you like it. And that is down to personal taste. But there are a lot of layers. I think when we talk about adding sweetener after you've already steeped your tea, a really obvious one can be course correction. We don't always steep the perfect cup of tea. Statistically, it's just not going to happen every single time. And that can often result in teas that are really bitter. And sweetener is a flavor balancer. It can really soften some of that roughness. And if you're not someone who wants, you know, a black cup of coffee every day or a really bitter cup of black tea, then it can really resolve a world of hurt.
Yeah, and I like how you use the word balance there for it, because it's not necessarily about making the tea sweet. It's about kind of mitigating or reducing any bitterness that you would have had in oversteeping. I mean, Celia, do you agree?
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay, I'm not totally out in the field here.
Yeah, and I think from a functional perspective, generally, you know, people are like, well, what tea is the best for me to drink? What is the healthiest? And the honest answer is, if, you know, tea has benefits, we know this to be true. It's a very functional ingredient. It was considered one of those like original health beverages. We drink it because we love the flavor. But if you are kind of coming at it from that direction, if you're adding something sweet to it and you're drinking more because of that, then that's the right answer. Like, you should be enjoying what you drink. If that means adding some sugar, adding some maple syrup, or whatever that looks like for you, and that means that you're going to drink more, then go for it, I say.
I mean, we're definitely three people in this room who are going to encourage people to drink more tea. Like, do whatever you need to do to drink more tea.
Absolutely.
But it's true that from, like, I mean, we're not doctors, but from a health perspective, if you're incorporating more functional ingredients, tea included in that list of ingredients, mm-hmm. you can't just have one cup a week and expect to see any kind of change within your system. The tea would go through your body much too quickly. So you have to kind of drink it more often in order to benefit from it.
Absolutely.
And we all know that you'll only drink it more often if you're enjoying the experience.
Absolutely.
There are some people out there who are a lot more, shall I say, rigorous than I am, and who will probably subject themselves to things that they don't necessarily like in the goal of wellness. But if you like it, you'll probably enjoy it a lot more, and you'll probably drink it a lot more.
Yeah. And to your point, I don't necessarily drink a lot of straight teas or traditional teas with sugar or with any sweetener, because I do really like to enjoy the flavor of the tea itself. I'm choosing a tea that speaks that way. I don't even think about it in terms of course correction very often, but I almost always add sugar when I'm making an iced tea, a tea pop, or a latte, because I just find that it balances a little bit better, especially for tea pops or lattes. If you have milk or if you have that carbonation, the sweetener can kind of help balance it. If you have an iced tea, it can just help enhance the flavors naturally. And it just kind of comes out a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And so I just think that when I'm making a drink like that, it is often more like a fun beverage, you know?
Right.
So that's where I'm adding some sugar.
Yeah, I kind of want to piggyback off that with the iced tea in particular, because when you're drinking something cold, it's a lot harder to perceive flavor.
Mm. Absolutely.
Much, much harder than if you're smelling something that's hot or drinking a hot beverage. So it does kind of lean into one of the many reasons that we use sweet ingredients in blending, but even after the fact, sugar, sweetener, honey, whatever your go-to is a flavor enhancer. It brings out flavor. And so when you're drinking something cold, then adding sweetener can make a more muted flavor pop more.
Absolutely.
It's just so amazing how every time I have a conversation with you ladies, I think of eight other conversations I want to have. Like Kelly, you just said, like, the way you'll perceive flavor in hot versus cold teas is so different. And it's true, but I've never thought of it in such a concise sentence. And now I'm like, oh, I have another episode idea. Like, I want to dive into that. But it's true that when I have an iced tea, beyond wanting to add that sweetness for, like, the fun aspect of it, which is undeniable and very, very true, the flavor of certain components within that iced tea are going to be more vibrant and present once you've added a sweetener. Okay, I'm very happy that we've established that sweet doesn't mean dessert and sweet doesn't mean sickly sweet or overwhelming. It's a question of balance. It's a question of incorporation to your taste. And to that point, let's talk about the two different types of sweeteners that we have in tea, the ones that were added after and the ones that are incorporated in, and which are your favorites? Because it's a question of like, it's a question of personal taste. Kelly, favorite sweetener to add in your tea after it's been steeped?
So my personal favorite is honey.
Okay.
You've actually seen this in person, but I have a pretty substantial, we'll call it a honey collection.
Absolutely.
I am fascinated by how, similar to tea, honey has its own flavor affected by processing and terroir.
Mm-hmm.
So the range you can get of flavors really, really appeals to me. So when I add honey, it's usually to add an additional flavor.
Okay.
Not necessarily to enhance a flavor or correct, although, of course, I do those things sometimes too. But I like to pull out a buckwheat honey, which has a lot more of a dark brown kind of caramelized note if I'm making a chai, for example. Or I might pull out a linden honey or something a lot more softer and floral for a white tea or something with more delicate notes. And it's always to add a flavor, kind of twist something in a way, and just have that extra step of control and innovation and fun.
I love that because I feel like honey people and tea people have a lot of overlap in their interests, and that terroir and that particular flavor that honey will bring beyond just the flavor. Like when I say honey, like everyone has a taste memory in their mind of what that tastes like. But in the world of honey, the flavors are so distinct and unusual that you are really adding a different component to that, which is why I use it very seldomly because I feel completely inequipped to choose the correct honey. I'm always like, I'm going to change the flavor of my tea. I don't know if I want to do that. So
there's no correct or incorrect, though, only experimentation. And you won't know until after the fact whether or not it was a good fit. I have a honey at home that I'm obsessed with currently that's made from the blossoms of carrots. So it's carrot honey imported from France. It's like the fanciest honey I own. And it has a surprisingly earthy and sour flavor to it.
Oh.
So it's really, really unique, and I love it. And I've tried it with a million different teas, and maybe 5% of them have been good fits. But the challenge of finding the perfect thing to add that particular kind of sweetness to has been really, really fun.
Oh, it's all about the adventure. Thank you for freeing me from that concept that I need to make a perfect cup of tea every time. Because I gotta let go of that. I've gotta let go of that. Okay.
Yeah, I think that it's different as well if you're like Kelly and you have so many different honeys to choose from, you can choose the right fit. But if you are maybe someone who just has one type of honey at home and you haven't experienced all those different flavors, you might have one concept of what honey tastes like.
Right.
And what that is like with your other teas or with different teas. I think I have like 3 honeys at home, and even those honeys I make very specific choices when I'm making tea. That's a very specific thing.
All right, Celia, favorite sweetener after steeping?
So as we were talking, I was thinking about what sweeteners I have at home, and I realized that I've lived in the current home that I live in for 4 or 5 months. I have actually not bought sugar.
Oh.
I don't own sugar. So that is off the list completely, and I guess it's just not something that I even think about or that I use. My go-to is generally maple syrup.
Okay, talk about a sweetener that has its own distinct flavor.
It really does, but my other options are, like I said, I have about 3 honeys at home, one that's very gentle, one we actually had a beehive in our garage wall, so we call it the wall honey. And that was really fun because whenever the house would get hot with the sun, you know, the honey would melt a little bit, which is so wild. It sounds like it's from a fairy tale, honestly. But eventually we had to harvest that honey and relocate the hive or the colony. And when we did that, we got a lot of honey out of it, but it's so strong. It's a very strong flavor. So when I'm using wall honey, it really has to be paired with a really intense black tea usually or something like that. And I'm doing it for a specific purpose. Otherwise, my maple syrup is more gentle than that. So by comparison, in terms of sweeteners, what do I have? The maple syrup is probably the gentlest of what I use. I'm trying to think of like what else I might use, but those are really the main two. I do love licorice root, and I actually have licorice root on the side. And sometimes I will put like a little bit of licorice root in my tea while I'm steeping it almost as a sweetener.
But to me, that's an ingredient that you're incorporating into the blend.
Yeah, and that's completely different.
I'm going to have to stop you. I'm going to have to stop you there before we go into that. Not because it's not interesting, but because wall honey, Celia.
Yes.
When you were talking about honey at home, you, like, let's unpack this for a second here. Yes. You literally had, your home was producing honey.
Yes.
Almost like an episode of, like, Stranger Things or something. Like, you had honey leaking from the walls.
Well, my grandfather had he had many hives, probably about 20 hives, I would say, when we were growing up. And so we harvested a lot of honey. We still have buckets and buckets of honey from that. So that's my preferred honey. And then I also harvested honey in BC when I was living there. So I have my own honey from Sorrento that I love as well. And those are like my choices of honeys that I usually go between. But yes, I did have honey leaking from my garage wall.
And yet you have access to I'm imagining buckets and buckets of honey here that you know is like natural and home honey, really.
Yes.
And you're still choosing maple syrup, which, as we said, is such a, you know, a sweetener that will change the profile of your tea. So
yeah.
My question is, is why, you know,
I think the honeys are so intense that they change it more. Oh. Maple syrup does have a bit of a dense flavor. We do also have maple trees on our land, so we do tap our maple trees.
Of course you do.
Of course.
Yeah. And for anybody who's listened to Celia on the podcast before, none of us are surprised that any of this is happening. And I just, I want to taste your wall honey, and I want to taste your maple syrup that you tap yourself. The thing that I'm taking away from both of your answers, be it like the imported carrot honey or the maple sap on the wood stove, it's really making me think, A, not everyone has access to the very particular types of sweeteners that you both are outlining here, mm-hmm. but it is really important to know your sweetener, right?
Yes, I would agree. But thank you for checking our sweetener privilege, because you're yes. We are both total foodies in pretty different ways, but and we're talking about things that maybe are not 100% relatable.
Right.
And, mm-hmm. you know, to that note, there is nothing wrong with your regular old cane sugar. That's still the most consumed kind of sweetener in North America.
Right.
And totally. That's true for a reason.
Yeah.
It's a great, pretty neutral sweetener. Not the most neutral, but definitely, like, very low, really, really familiar, and it's something most people grow up with. Mm-hmm. So when you're talking about sweetener for course correction or flavor enhancement or whatever thing on the sweetener bucket list you're mm-hmm. trying to check off, mm-hmm. that's one that I think is just really approachable and familiar for almost all people in North America.
I'd have to agree. I think when you get a tea service at someone's house, you know, when you have like the creamer and the sugar bowl and everything, it's those white cubes of sugar. That mm-hmm. is just the sweetener that as North Americans, we understand the most. And it's the easiest for us to dose on a dime, you know, to decide in that moment exactly how many cubes of sugar you want. That's so it does true. Go back to know your sweetener.
Yes.
Know what you want out of your sweetener before just willy-nilly, you know, like throwing anything in your cup.
Yeah. So. And I guess that has a lot to do with just familiarity and branching out. Like, you're very familiar with your honeys. I'm very familiar with the maple because it's something that we actually harvest. And I think that, yeah, that was a really good check. And I think it is just like being about becoming familiar with what you have access to.
I wasn't really trying to check anyone. I was just really trying. I was thinking about myself, where I don't add sweetener to my teas, but when I do on occasion, I use agave. And now I'm understanding okay. through what, by comparison through what you were saying, I was like, oh, I understand something better about myself, which is I'm using agave because it doesn't have a particular flavor profile that over-dominates in a tea, mm-hmm. which is why I feel more comfortable using it, because, I don't know, it's just familiarity, it's comfort, it's not too thick, right? Agave is just really liquid and easy yeah. to incorporate into your tea. So yeah, I wasn't trying to like check anyone.
No, I think it was really good. Like, yeah, how many people do have access? And like, I grew up in Alberta where we, like originally, where you don't really have maple trees.
Right.
And that, you know, there are other plants that might produce some form of sweetness, but it wasn't until I moved to Ontario that I even had access to that.
Right.
And that's something that's really important to acknowledge, is that a lot of Canadians don't have maple syrup or maple trees that are just accessible.
Right.
It's on our flag, but it's not a plant that grows everywhere across the country.
It doesn't?
It does not. Mm-hmm. A lot of my friends have never seen a maple tree.
Yeah, same in Saskatchewan. It was not
a sugar maple.
Common at all to see
oh,
sugar
a
maple.
Sugar yes. maple. Okay.
We do have like Manitoba maples. They're very common.
You almost sent me down an internet rabbit hole. Like, I was like, we don't have maples everywhere. Okay, no. Before we start another episode on maple syrup.
I have a question first.
Okay.
I'm really curious, what were you thinking of when you said, you know, table sugar is not the most neutral of sugars. What were you thinking of?
Agave is the one that I was definitely thinking of. And there's a reason why it's this default sweetener in our stores as well, because it's the most neutral. It's definitely accessible in that way. And we like it, at least when we're making in-store beverages, although we carry other sweeteners, this is our preferred because it lets you just taste a more enhanced version of the tea without changing the flavor too drastically. Mm.
I think that's really interesting because I have had some agaves that are very strong, that have their own flavor, and that I've really disliked, and that actually almost turned me off of agave for a while. Mm. And it wasn't until I started using the ones in our stores that I was like, oh, this is a very neutral flavor, and I can use this as a neutral flavor enhancer for my teas. But I think that if you're coming at it and you are hearing this and you're like, okay, I'm going to go try agave because it sounds neutral, to be aware that not every agave is neutral, and it's just like honey, it's just like maple syrup, like finding the flavor, the grade, or, you know, the type that works best and becoming familiar with that as well.
It's just such a huge world. I mean, we've only touched on a few of the sweeteners. We haven't gotten into, you know, anything too granular, and already there's just so much to discover. Okay. We got to keep this to a mini episode. We can't let this run away like the caffeine episode. But I want to talk about ingredients that they themselves are sweet that are incorporated into blends. Now, we talked about licorice in a previous episode, how it's one of our favorite, I mean, at least me and Celia. I don't know how you feel about it, Kelly.
Not a licorice root fan.
Really?
But we won't unpack that. Not at least on the podcast. We'll unpack that privately.
Thank God we work together, because I have so many questions later on. But there are other ingredients that we use, particularly in our teas. We've decided not to discuss stevia today. We want to dedicate an entire episode to stevia because it's a fascinating natural ingredient that is really, really polarizing. And we really want to take the time to discuss that on its own. Mm-hmm. So other sweeteners that we have in our tea, we have sweet blackberry leaves. We have licorice, as mentioned. We have monk's fruit. Am I forgetting anything?
I think apple is one that is not normally considered a sweet ingredient, but is definitely utilized that way.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Beetroot, to me, is the big one that stands out. I lived in southern Alberta for a long time, and that's really one of the major producers of beetroot that is used for, you know, like Rogers table sugar.
Okay.
And I think that people often disassociate table sugar from being a plant or like what that looks like.
Right.
But the fact that it's, you know, it's beets that are harvested and turned into sugar, or sugar cane that's harvested and turned into sugar, but we use a lot of beetroot because it is naturally so sweet in our blends, and it offers color, like a really nice deep red color. And so that's the one that I think of as being like a gentle sweetness.
Okay, so if we have the opportunity to add sweetness to our tea post-steep, walk me through the logic of using sweet ingredients in a blend. Now, I already said that here at David's Tea, we try to create teas that stand on their own, that you steep and it's ready to go. But not factoring that into the thinking, like, what are the other reasons why you would add a sweet ingredient to a blend?
I think it really depends on the ingredient and the blend as individual things, because we look at things like apple or beetroot or sweet blackberry leaf as just part of a blending toolkit, essentially, where they each offer their own pros and their own cons. So apple, as an example, kind of has this bell curve, if you will, of where it offers neutral, slightly fruity sweetness to when it just tastes like apple juice.
Right.
So we use it a lot in very fruit-forward blends, because you can kind of hide that apple-y taste, but use it in a large enough percentage to naturally lift and add a bright kind of sweetness to those teas. But I wouldn't use apple, at least for sweetening purposes, in a blend that, say, is, cinnamon flavored or something minty, for example. Apple would be the wrong sweetener choice if you're making a really mint-forward blend, because it's going to add an almost cacophonous sort of brightness that won't really blend very well. And if you use a large percentage of it, it will eventually start to taste like apple, because it is apple.
That's really interesting, because you just said you wouldn't necessarily use apple when you're trying to make like a cinnamon forward tea. If you're trying to make like a because apple and cinnamon go together like peas and carrots, but you're talking about a different profile there, right?
Yeah, not cinnamon. A cinnamon apple, but just like a pure cinnamon. If you want the focus to be exclusively cinnamon, apple's not going to be a good fit, because it's not going to blend seamlessly and the flavor won't hide, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I don't always think of apple as a sweet ingredient, really, but it's true that I'm thinking of a lot of our blends that have that sweetness, or you want the other flavors to come out without it tasting like apple juice. It's a complicated ingredient, and we have it in a lot of our teas, and it's because it just works so well with so many different ingredients, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We carry a lot of fruity teas. It's not a secret. We love fruit. Fruit is great. And ergo, we have a lot of teas with apple.
That makes sense. Celia, I know you must have something to say about sweet blackberry leaf and monk fruit and all of those sweeteners. Why would you add those as opposed to apple, say?
Yeah. All right. So I think that just like in adding sweetener after, adding sweetener before, everything has its own flavor. And that is even more enhanced or visible in some ways when you're adding it to the blend, because you're not giving the customer a choice about it. So you have to be really careful that it blends really cohesively. Sometimes you have to think about, you know, the function. If we're blending a functional blend, why not use a sweetener that has function to it? And this is actually really interesting because a lot of teas or a lot of sweet ingredients are also functional.
Mm.
So we talked about licorice root is the obvious one, using for like sore throats, upset stomachs. Interestingly enough, sweet blackberry leaf was also used originally for like digestive upsets and things like that. And monk fruit is another one. We don't talk about it too much, but it's actually a plant in the cucumber family. You can think of it kind of like a melon, a small gourd, like in the visual. And it was used in traditional Chinese medicine originally for like sore throats and things like that. And we use it for sweetness. So I think of something like licorice root as being a very intense flavor. So we do have to use it in very small doses if we are going to be adding that. Whereas monk fruit, I find, has like a very like round flavor to it. And when I really like it in blends with cinnamon or things like that. Whereas sweet blackberry leaf, I often like it in slightly fruitier things. I find it has like this really high note to it when it comes out, and just the difference in the blending can really enhance the flavor or detract from it. So we really think about that, but then we're also thinking about, from my perspective, I'm always thinking about the benefits and how that plays into the tea as well. And I think it's kind of fun that, you know, you're drinking something that's fun and sweet and maybe fruity, or fun and sweet and cinnamony, and it actually has a little bit of a benefit too.
Oh, for sure. And I mean, the issue I think I have a lot when I'm in North America is that so many of our foods and other beverages contain so much sugar, so much sweetness, that I, at least when I'm drinking my tea, that's kind of what the one place where I don't want that much, not even from a health perspective, just from a flavor differentiator. I don't always want something sweet. But here, what I like about what you're both discussing is how sweet isn't bad. Sweet in moderation can actually be an enhancer or have a functional benefit. Mm-hmm. It can be pleasurable and is part of the flavor pantheon that humans crave. I mean, we need sweetness. I mean, we really do. If in its purest form, it gives you energy, right? Mm-hmm. Just like honey and maple syrup and all these things, they give you basic energy. And then now you're saying also from a functional perspective, you also have like a wellness benefit that you'll get from these ingredients. So I think you've both kind of changed my opinion about adding sweetness to tea. Ooh. Because I think for a long time I was just like, no, I don't do sweeteners. You know, I don't do that. It's not a flavor that I particularly enjoy. I don't seek sweetness, but a little bit here and there can actually enhance my tea drinking experience, which, as everyone well knows, I am here for.
Yeah, you're a flavor enthusiast. We're flavor enthusiasts. That's why we love the sugar, the sweetness, all the varieties of it. I think you're going to get really into this.
I'm going to get sweet.
I want to touch on something you said, though, about, you know, we have so much sugar in the rest of our lives that we don't necessarily need sugar or sweet in tea. I think there is a misconception that when we use things like monk fruit, for example, in blends, that there's so much of it in that blend. And, for example, when we have teas with monk fruit in them, it's usually less than 1% monk fruit. Whoa. That makes the final composition of the blend as dry leaf. And then when you steep that, it's even less than that in your finished cup.
Right.
So, yes, it is adding a flavor, and it's doing a lot to support the blend as a whole, but it's really such a micro part of the final composition.
And that's a really good point, because we're working with like a natural plant, and this plant is considered to be 250 times sweeter than sugar. So licorice root, we say, is 50 times sweeter than sugar. Monk fruit, 250 times. And sometimes that scale, depending on the research that you're reading, is changing a little bit, but that's where it's at in that area. And that's a lot to think about, you know? So we're taking something that's already so many times sweeter than sugar, and then we're using it in a blend rather than after, and we're seeing that difference immediately. And that's a really, really good point to
that's
make.
That's an excellent point, because I think we don't, I don't want to bucket everyone under the same umbrella, but I think that we don't give enough credit to the potency of flavor found in the natural world. Like, less than 1% in a blend, that's nothing. It could barely show up in your spoon when you scoop it out, but it's just so naturally powerful that, you know, it gives the misconception that we've just made half the blend monk fruit. You know? Yeah. Like, we're really... But I can't blame anyone for thinking that, but it's a really good point to bring up.
Mm-hmm. Plants are powerful. Plants are phenomenal.
Plants are the best. Plants are the best. Well, I cannot thank you enough for being our guests today, because I think you've given me, I want to say, a lot of food for thought. I'm trying to make a sweet pun here. Can't think of one right now. A
spoonful of sugar to help the thoughts go down.
There you go! Oh, I just want to end it on that. Thank you so much, Kelly and Celia. And thank you for listening to today's episode. If you have any comments, questions, or topics for another mini episode, you can reach us at steeping.together@davidstea.com or through our website, davidstea.com. Have a great week. Happy steeping, everyone.